And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Thursday, May the 4th, 2017 edition of the American Awakening. I'm your host, Michael Herzog, and as always, I'll be with you for the next couple hours. Now, tonight's program, I'm going to get into a little bit later, I'm going to get into Ernst Zundel and the Holocaust. I just finished watching a video by Pastor Stephen Anderson, who pastors a church here in the Valley. I've met him on a couple different occasions, at one time I actually walked into his church with my then girlfriend and invited him to come up on my show, but my girlfriend got freaked out because every one of the male parishioners in his church was packing heat. She got a little bit nervous, so I had to take her out of there. But anyway, I wanted to let you know, and I'm trying to get into my website, not my website, but I'm trying to get into my emails right now. I got an email from Carol in Idaho, and this was at 7:52 a.m. this morning, saying that Ammon Bundy was taken from a shower by six SWAT members, stripped him, and threw him in solitary again after he just got out at 40 days. He has a dislocated shoulder and wrist. He's got swollen hands and cut ankles, and he sounded like he was suffering hypothermia. Over 400 days in prison, not convicted of anything, denied bail, and a right to a speedy trial. So I'm going to play this clip. This is Ammon Bundy's wife that I just received this just a few minutes ago from my webmaster and forwarded it over to my board operator. So, Mike, go ahead and play that clip, if you would.
Good morning, everyone. I have to make this quick because I got to get my kids out the door. I just woke up. I don't have time to sit and wait for viewers. So hopefully you guys get this. But listen, Ammon's in trouble. Ryan, Angie just called me, just barely. Ryan called her. Last night, Ammon and Ryan got thrown in the hole. Ammon has been held in a 2x8 cell with shackled with his hands behind his back for 10 hours. 10 hours, you guys. Listen. Please start making phone calls. The reason why he got thrown in jail was because he had an extra. He had a shirt on his bed. Anyways, we need your help. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know how we're going to, I don't know what how to get God to intervene. I think at this point we need to stop demanding and try to speak to their hearts and be kind. But you guys, there's nothing I can do for my husband. I need your help. He's been in a 2x8 little cell for 10 hours, and then Ryan stood up for him because it was a shirt on his bed. They didn't feed him breakfast, and anyways, I need your help. I gotta make this quick because I gotta get my kids out to school. But please, please say a prayer. Please make phone calls. We have to do the phone calls, you guys, or else it won't work. It won't work. Everyone needs to call. Please call. If you have time, if you have 15 minutes, call every minute on the dot. They have to know that we care and that we're not going to be okay with this. Criminals, high-profile criminals are thrown in solitary. This is why they have solitary, for safety reasons. But there's certain guards there that retaliate, and they want to hurt people, and they especially want to hurt Ammon and Ryan. And so Ryan's in regular solitary, and Ammon's in a 2x8 cell because he had a shirt on his bed. This is not okay. This is not okay. I'm not okay with this. Please. Please call Pahrump, Nevada Southern Detention Center. Talk to the warden. Talk to anyone that will listen to you. Please call. It's called Misty. It's Nevada Southern Detention Center. I don't have the number. I can't even think right now. but I need your guys' help. Shackled for 10 hours. That means they'll leave him shackled forever until someone intervenes. Okay, thanks. Have a good day. Bye.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, this reminds me of what they did to Irwin Schiff when they tried to break him down. He died on his bed, handcuffed to his bed. And I don't know what kind of screening process they put these guards through or what kind of monsters they hire deliberately to go in and try to break psychologically these guys. These guys are hanging tough, folks. Now, I'm going to continue with this email by Carol. It says, calling all campers and proud Americans to the crooked Pahrump, Nevada CCA Hostage Center. We can camp in 14-day groups, and then we will need to change shifts to avoid tickets. Friday morning at 9 a.m., it will continue until they release Ammon from solitary and improve his treatment. Call and tell the sheriff and the commissions to meet us at the Pahrump Jail this Friday morning at 9 a.m. to investigate the attempted murder of Ammon Bundy and to review the film. Ammon knows he will not make it to this day in court at this rate, and we have to take this seriously before they kill him. Remember, this is a political agenda, so they do not care about getting Ammon to his trial. Then there's another clip down here, which I'm going to click on, and hopefully that's not going to cause any problems with my computer. But evidently, there is a call live from solitary. Okay, I'll tell you what. I just clicked on this, and I'm going to copy it. I'm going to send this over to the board operator, Mike. And, Mike, I want you to put this up on air until I tell you to pull it down, if you would, because evidently this is Ammon Bundy that's just about to go live on air from solitary confinement. So I'm going to send this over to you, Mike. And if you hear Ammon on the line, go ahead and cut me off. Oh, Ammon's on the line. Yeah, go ahead and put that up, Mike.
Hey, guys. We're going live here. We've got Ammon Bundy on the phone, and he is live from... He's live from solitary confinement after being beat up and traumatized all night. And this is at the CCA for-profit prison in Pahrump, Nevada. And so I'm going to turn it over to Ammon. If you guys can hear him, please let me know. It's a little bit of a difficult situation here, but we're going to do the best that we can. Ammon, go ahead and say hi.
So, anyway, I just wanted everybody to, I don't know, maybe understand a little bit the situation.
Ammon, tell us what you...
This call is from an inmate facility.
The main thing I want is to believe my wife. I don't want people calling her a liar.
We believe her, Ammon. Tell us what you had been through. She said that there were moments that you actually had circulation being cut off and you thought that they were going to kill you.
Well...
What happened?
They didn't like that I had a shirt hung over my bunk bed, I guess. So the guy took it and... That's fine and dandy, but the problem is if you don't have your shirt, then you can't get breakfast the next morning because they won't let you eat unless you have a shirt. And my other two shirts were in the laundry, so anyway, I tried to get it back and he refused. Then Ryan got involved and he tried to get it back. And anyway, then they decided to use force on us. Drug Ryan out in the hallway. Actually, they said that they wanted to talk to Ryan out in the hallway, and so he went out there willingly and talked to him. And I told him that I wanted to keep an eye on him, because I was afraid of what they might do to him. And they said all they wanted to do is talk to him. That's all they said. So anyway, he talked out there for a while, and the next thing you know, they're following him down the hallway. And then they came in, and I demanded to know what they were going to do with Ryan, and they wouldn't tell me. And the other people in the pod were upset because they saw how the guy lied and told them that we assaulted him, the guard, you know, and they were upset. So the pod was upset. They wanted me to get out of into the hallway so they could do what they wanted to do with me without worrying about the other inmates. And so they grabbed me and drug me out, beat me to the ground, and kneed me, you know, and hit me and shoved their fingers in my ears and behind my ears. And anyway.
Can you tell us the
handcuffed
name?
Me. And,
can you tell us the names of any of the guards who were assaulting you?
No, and I don't want to quite go there yet, Kelly. I know maybe I should, but I don't want to be like them. I don't want to be I don't want to retaliate.
I know. That's fine. I'm just asking.
They need accountability, but I don't know. Maybe I have more faith in people seeing what's wrong. The problem is the tyrants.
They are.
They don't recognize themselves. Just justify it all. I mean, I don't even get it. I can't think that way. And
so
I don't get it.
They took you into a shower stall.
They drug me down, yeah, and they took me down into.
This call is from an inmate facility.
Threw me in a shower. It's about about a 3x3 block brick shower. It has a metal door on the back side of it. And I'm handcuffed. And they did take my leg irons off, but my leg irons had cut around my ankles and both my legs, so they were bleeding.
Your ankles were bleeding.
And then, yeah, both of them, because of the trip down the long hallway with the leg irons on. And then I'm handcuffed behind my back. I got my arms turned out, you know, so that really bad position. And then with that little room, I could just crunch up, and I could never get any comfortable. I could stand up, but after a couple hours of that, I'd have to go back. Then I was hurting my shoulders.
And you were handcuffed this whole time?
Yeah, behind my back. And it was they were tight, and my hands were starting to swell up. Gotten circulation off my hands, kept having to move my hands to keep circulation in my hands. And
how long were you?
My right shoulder. I was in there for 13 hours. And they were telling me that I was going to be in there for 72 hours. But I think the reason why they abandoned that was because Ryan was calling. He could see a little bit of the shower from his cell. He was calling her, trying to. I think that's what brought a lot of tension. And
this call is from an inmate facility.
Mentioned one time that Nye County was going to come and investigate. And I think that's what. I don't know who said that, but whoever said that was wise in saying that, because they began to act different once that was said.
They didn't actually come and investigate?
I've never seen them or talked to them. No, I still would like to. I'd like to tell them what's going on.
You
I'd like to show them my hands and
you,
stuff.
You want to speak to the sheriff?
Either that or the commissioners.
Okay.
They have a responsibility to protect the people's rights in this county.
Yeah, they do.
And just because this facility has a federal contract, it doesn't negate their responsibility to protect the people that are within the boundaries of their county.
No, the contract does not give
what's
them,
happening.
The contract does not give them the right to abuse anybody. No contract gives somebody the right to treat people the way that they are treating you and many other prisoners. What you're experiencing, you are bringing light to what many other people across this country are going through, Ammon. And I commend you for being bold enough to share your story so that people can get involved. People can tell their neighbors what's going on and how we need to get to the jails and set these people free, all of them. If you guys are not going to receive due process, then there's no reason for you to be sitting in these jail cells just to be tortured and abused. This isn't America.
No.
This isn't how we do things.
No. Well, what they wanted from me is they wanted nothing but for me to submit. They wanted my spirit. They wanted to tear. That's all they want.
Yeah.
And so I spent, because they're like, well, we'll take your handcuffs off if you'll just strip and
this call is from an inmate facility.
And do what we tell you to. And that's all they want, Kelly. And it's no different than, I mean, I don't know, you know, but it seems no different to me than any other torture. I mean, when we think about tortures and torture chambers, they drag you in and they throw you in there and then they inflict physical pain on you to get you to, you know, do what they want you to do or admit to something that they want you to admit or deny something that they want you to deny, but it's all through force, and that's what I just experienced then.
You're absolutely a prisoner of war, Ammon. There's no other way around it. You are a prisoner of war.
Well, it got pretty, I don't know, I was quite a bit of pain, you know, in there, and I couldn't sleep, because I'd been up, you know, the day and then all through the night, about 30 hours, almost 30 hours, I think. Yeah, it was probably right around 30 hours since I had been able to, you know, I was in there without sleep, and then I had to go to the bathroom, and there's no place, so I just put that in the drain, but then I, you know, that was difficult.
Right there in the 3-foot by 3-foot shower that they left you in for 13 hours is where you also had used the bathroom.
Well, yeah, there's no other choice. I mean, I had to go to the bathroom twice, and then I didn't want to use, there's no water. Of course, they don't feed you, but there's a shower there. But the problem is if I turned the shower on, it's too small, I would have got wet, and I was already, the temperature is already at the point, and probably because of, you know, the shock of my body and stuff, I was already shivering, shaking. I didn't want to get wet because I felt that I would be really cold then. And anyway, so then they kept telling me that if I don't submit, that they're going to escalate the force on me. And I just kept telling them that, look, they don't have a right to do what they're doing. And they can't, you know, they don't have a right to torture me. Because they are not willing to give them what they want. And so anyway, then, so at probably around close to noon or something today, I think they came in with like a SWAT team. They're fully geared up, like riot gear. I've never seen it in here before like that. And they opened the door and dragged me out. And at that point, I could, you know, I was still in my handcuffs, and it was hard to get up and walk. But they weren't too mean to me. They did help me up and walked me over to my cell and to the hole and took me in there, maybe lay face on my ground, while they, several of them were on my back. And they handcuffed me, and I could barely move my arms. So they had to move my arms for me to put my, because they said as soon as they unhandcuffed me that I was supposed to put my arms on my head, but I couldn't do it because of the position I was in for so long and because of the circulation of my arms and still, anyway, still difficult to move my arms. So they had to put, they used their hands to put, to grab my arms and put my hands on my head. And then they stripped me all the way down to nothing. Rolled me over. Did their inspections. Threw the clothes out the door. Back out, shut the door, left me naked in the cell.
And that's where you are right now.
Well, the guard that looks over the hole here, he got my garments, my undergarments, and he threw them back through the latch, and so I was able to put those on, and that's where I'm at right now.
And how long do they plan to leave you in the hole until we come and get you out?
I don't know. I have no idea. I the thing is we have to understand that in their eyes, this is all my fault. And you know, I don't know.
Not your fault, Anna.
I could be a good, I just,
this call
I'm just not
is
a good,
from an inmate facility.
I'm just not a good prisoner.
You're not,
I'm
a, good
just not
slave.
A good prisoner.
You're not a good slave.
I know, but.
That's all. This isn't your fault.
If I would just comply and accept, I could probably be a lot easier in here, but I don't know.
If you comply and accept, then that's what we are.
You have 1 minute remaining.
Then that's what we are to do out here as well. There's a group of us that'll get together and we'll fly down to Nevada and we'll be there by this weekend and we'll bring as many elected officials as we can and we will make sure that you have a meeting with either commissioners or the sheriff. So you can mark my words.
I'm telling you.
We will come. Okay? We'll come. John will come.
I really believe not for my sake, but for the sake of what might happen to somebody else. They intended to leave me in there for 72 hours. And it would almost have killed me. I'm certain of it. 13 hours was enough.
Well, you have 500 listeners right now. Do you think they'll let you call back in?
Your time is up.
So that was Ammon Bundy from CCA, Pahrump, Nevada Detention Center, Hostage Center. Where he had a shirt hanging off of the edge of his bed last night, so they drug him out at 10 p.m. and threw him in a 3-foot by 3-foot room shower for 13 hours with no food and water. And after that, he was stripped naked and thrown into solitary confinement with no clothes. And it was one guard who came and brought him back his garments. America, wake up! This is not the land of the free and the home of the brave. Wake up. We need people. We need funds going to the attorneys. AmmonBundyDefense.com. 500 viewers right now. Each of you go and donate $5 right now so that we can get Ammon's attorney, who is not in Nevada, Morgan Philpott, down there to Nevada to be fighting for him. He should already be in Nevada, and the only reason he's not in Nevada is because of funds. Because he doesn't financially have the means to be there staying for the next year fighting this battle for Ammon. So he's left dependent on Dan Hill, his court-appointed attorney, who obviously has not intervened and done anything in this situation. We, the people, stepped up and made phone calls to the jail. That is why he was taken out of the hole after 13 hours, when they were going to leave him there for 72 hours. Did you guys hear his voice? It didn't even sound like Ammon Bundy. Can you imagine what his family is going through, knowing how he's suffering? We have to do more.
Cause I'm mad at Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Now, there's a couple of comments that I want to make about this. These two guys, what they're trying to do, and I don't mean to ride a dead horse, but I want to make something clear to all of us. These two, they're trying to destroy their spirit. I don't know where they're getting these guards or what kind of training program they put them through or what kind of propaganda they put them through to have them go in there and mistreat these guys like this, or anybody for that matter. But I want to remind everybody of something, okay? These guys are standing for their truth, and they're standing hard for the truth. And I want you to think about something else, because of what we are facing as a patriot community. If things continue to go the way they're going, it's not just going to be them, because what they did was they stood up for their rights on their land. Ultimately, it's going to come down to us, because yes, those prison camps do exist, and yes, they don't like people like us because we're awakened Americans, we tell the truth, and they don't like the truth, folks. So that said, I want to go a step further and remind you now, okay, that Republic Broadcasting is one of the very, very few places you're even going to get that information, plus some of the other marvelous information that comes out with a number of these talk show hosts. So I'm going to ask every one of you once again, which I'm going to do every day, dig into your pocket, kick in $20, $50, $100, whatever you can afford. I'm just asking every listener for $20, okay? Just $20, not a big deal. And I want you to send it to RBN. I want you to click the PayPal button and send it in to them. I want you to put it in an envelope, if you would. Send it to 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Again, that's 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And help right this ship so we can keep bringing this information to you, because we have a few really, really good employees in there, folks, that need to get paid on a consistent basis. We need equipment that needs to be replaced. It's way overdue to be replaced. And we need to take the stress off of John Stattmiller so that he can focus more on his program and focus more on bringing the information to you. And also, any people that are out there that are in relatively, you know, semi-close distance to the Las Vegas area, go in there, make your voices heard. I don't have the the telephone number for that sheriff's department up there, or I would give it out to you over the phone. It's not hard to get. It's the corrections facility in Pahrump, Nevada, which, if I remember correctly, is where the whorehouse is as well. Why they would put it there, I don't know. But at any rate, you know, do your part, do your share. These guys are basically just standing up for the rights of we the people. And to me, even with what they're going through, they're doing a very good job, and it makes me question my own ability if I were in that situation of what I would do. You question that as well. Could you be that strong, folks? And it is networks such as this one, and there are few and far between now, that keep bringing this out, making you aware of it, bringing you the news, telling you the truth of what it really is, unlike mainstream media, which will tell you nothing, that keeps you in the dark, that wants to lie to you, wants to have everybody drinking the Kool-Aid and saying, oh, everything's fine, don't worry about a thing, our government is benevolent, our government is good. We know it. We know that's a blatant lie. We just heard that tonight. These people are standing for us, folks. Let's stand up for them. Let's stand up for RBN, okay? Again, and I'm asking you, when you donate, if you want to call in at 800-724-2719, extension 3, please tell them that Michael Herzog, you're donating this on behalf because you heard it on Michael Herzog's show. I appreciate that because I will get credit for it. And when I have hit the goal that I need to hit, I'm going to stop. I don't like doing this, folks. I don't like having to ask you to dig into your pocket. It's the last thing in the world that I want to do. But it's imperative that we do it. That said, let's see. Okay, go into my website at theamericanawakening.org. Evidently, my webmaster has posted the telephone numbers of that sheriff's department on my website. I didn't even know that. You can also go into my website at theamericanawakening.org and click on the chat if you want to go into the chat room and kibitz between each other. I believe, Mike, we've got another break coming up here in just a second. Is that right? Let's see. Oh, you too. Okay. All right. Well, with that, let's go to Fred in Iowa. Fred, you're on with Michael. Go ahead.
You know, Mike, I always ask if you can hear me because, you know, my phone's a little screwed up. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, Fred.
Okay. I missed part of what Lori said, but you can trust Lori, and I've got to get that address to help out with that attorney for the Bundy.
Well, going to my website, Fred, the address may be up there. I know the phone numbers are up there because my webmaster, I was just informed my webmaster put them up there. So it's theamericanawakening.org. The address may be in there.
Okay. Michael, what you're doing, you're changing the picture. I don't even know if you realize how much you're doing good. We've got to get this up. McConnell, how do you pronounce and spell his first name?
Just Field, just like in Field of Dreams, F-I-E-L-D.
Okay. Now, this is no reflection on you whatsoever, but we've got to get Tom LaCavara out, and we've got to get him on RBN.
Fred, I'm a step ahead of you because I've already got in a call into Eric Jones for an update on Tom LaCavara. The last that I've heard is that Tom LaCavara is out of solitary confinement and he is out among the other prisoners. So that's a step in the right direction. I can only move as fast as these people will give me the information to move, buddy. But I'm on top of it. Trust me on that, okay?
Hey, bless your heart.
All right.
When we get him on there, that's going to be three of you. Now, I made a statement on Fields, McConnell's show, that I was an expert in a certain area. Well, I shouldn't have used the word expert, but I am quite knowledgeable. Now, I'm 80 years old. I've got an old computer, and I need help. I mean, I'm not talking about financial help, but to get my own website and blog site, whatever you call it. Start putting out information. But I'm going to feed this to you, and all I say can be proven. And that's all I want to cover right now. You're doing a hell of a job. Keep it up. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Fred. Okay, so my show was interrupted here for 35 minutes on that issue because I didn't plan on going there. what I wanted to do, I wanted to get into a little bit about the Holocaust Night and Ernst Zundel. But before I go there, I had another thing on my mind that I wanted to bring out to the audience, and that is that I had occasion to go in and do some research here in the last couple days, and I'm running across some information that I'm digging into about CERN, that Hadron Collider over there that borders France and Switzerland. And there's a guy, I'm not going to mention his name yet, but there's a guy evidently that is an expert in this, and the real reasons why they are doing the experiments over there that they're doing. And it's not just with CERN, it's also with what they're doing with these new quantum computers that they are, I guess, from what I understand, technology is multiplying now faster than ever. It's multiplying every 3 months. Used to multiply every year, every 2 years, whatever. Now it's down to every 3 months. And they're updating, they're doubling the capacity of these quantum computers every 3 months. So my question to you folks, I'm going to open the phone lines up probably midway in the second hour. This guy is pretty deep. And when I listen to a couple of his documentaries, it's kind of tough to understand it. So my question to you is, dare I go there and dare I bring this topic up? Because it is fascinating, it is going on, and it is affecting all of us. But I don't want to get in a situation where he loses all of us. So, you know, give me your thoughts on that. And with that, I'm going to shift gears here and say a little bit about what I'm going to get into. Now, it is illegal to even question the Holocaust in 14 countries around the world, including Canada. And, of course, we all know that the magic number is 6 million Jews died in the concentration camps in World War II. And I've been of the agnostic position that I'm not denying that happened. All I'm saying is show me some figures on that end of it to prove it, because everything that I'm uncovering here shows to the contrary. Now, there was a total of about 70 million people that perished in World War II, and we don't hear about any of those, but we consistently hear about the 6 million Jews that were supposedly cremated, gassed to death. And a couple of the excerpts or the snippets that I got on another video I watched just before I came on the air by Pastor Stevens, that here's here in Arizona, is that in Auschwitz, and I believe it was in the year 1947, they posted a sign out in front that said that 4 million people had perished there. 4 million Jewish people had lost their lives in Auschwitz. Now, from 1947, fast forward to when the Iron Curtain went down, right around 1990, or was it 1991, that sign was replaced, and the figure went down to 1.5 million. Then after that, the figure went down yet again, about 1995, or it could have been even as high as 2000. I didn't get that number. But now the figure is down to 1.1 million, and a little excerpt underneath that sign that's saying 90% of them were Jews, which brings it down to a little bit less than 1 million Jews died in Auschwitz. So if you take 3 million from the original 4 million that Auschwitz had posted on their sign, and you subtract that from the 6 million that allegedly were gassed to death in the prison camps, I guess 6 million minus 3 million still equals 6 million. Are they using Common Core for their sum? Now, also, the number 6 seems to be an interesting number in the, what is it, the Kabbalah, the Jewish religion, because the number 6 was used in newspapers prior to 1941 a total of 236 times in newspaper posts, which I have all the posts. I'm not going to go through and read them because it would take the whole show and then some. But trust me on this one. I have 236 newspaper posts with that magic number of 6 million Jews. 6 million Jews in peril. 6 million Jews could vanish. 6 million Jews could die. Oh, they have to... 6 million refugee Jews. Just every kind of imaginal, you know, catastrophe that could happen with this magic figure of 6 million. Now, if we go a step further with the number 6, we see that, well, they had the six-day war. They have the six-point star. They have, guess how many death camps that they're complaining that they lost 6 million Jews? 6 death camps. So, that being said, and as I mentioned, in 14 countries, it is against the law to even talk about this. If you decide that you're going to talk about it and you're going to be a Holocaust denier, in those 14 countries, they're going to throw you in jail. So I then watched about a 2-minute and 50-second clip about the attitude, and this lady evidently was Jewish. She came on the air and she was talking about the attitude of people who deny the Holocaust. I'm not going to play that clip for you because basically it is erroneous. Her conclusions are ridiculous. They continue to dance around the issue. And they talk about how ridiculous it is if you disbelieve it. Then they throw the anti-Semitism thing in there, which is couldn't be farther from the truth. I'm not racist by any stretch of the imagination. I don't care one way or the other. Okay, all I'm saying is if 6 million Jews perished by being gassed in prison camps, show me the evidence. Now, one man decided that he was going to push the issue. And he was going to educate people, such as I do, such as many other people do. A lot of you out there try to educate your friends, neighbors, and relatives. Ernst Zundel, back in May of 1988, was sentenced by Judge Ronald Thomas of the District of Ontario in Toronto to 9 months in prison for simply having distributed a revisionist booklet. And the title of the booklet said, "Did 6 million really die?" Now, Ernst Zundel lived in the Toronto area up until a few years ago. I guess he worked as a graphic artist and an advertising man. And according to this article, this is years old, folks, says he's 49 years old. I think he's probably in his 80s now. He was a native of Germany. He has kept his German citizenship. His life has known serious upsets from the day when in about 1981 he began to distribute this book, Did 6 Million Really Die?, this pamphlet. The revisionist booklet was written by Richard Harwood, and the booklet was first published in 1974 in Great Britain, where a year later it was the focus of a lengthy controversy in the literary journal books and the Bookmen. At the instigation of the Jewish community in South Africa, it was later banned in that country. Now, in Canada, during the earlier trial in 1985, Zundel had been sentenced to 15 months in prison. And that sentence, interestingly enough, was thrown out in 1987. Then they began a new trial in January of 1988. Now, the first trial lasted for 7 weeks. The jury found Zundel not guilty regarding the letter he had himself written, but they found him guilty of distributing the Harwood booklet. He was sentenced by Judge Hugh Locke to 15 months in prison. The German consulate in Toronto confiscated his passport, and the West German government prepared a deportation action against him. And in Germany itself, West German authorities had already carried out a series of large-scale police raids on the houses of all his German correspondents. And in 1987, the United States forbade him entry into its territory. And by the way, they're doing that right now because his wife, Ingrid, still lives here. So they forbade him entry back then into the territory. They're forbidding him entry now into this territory. But in spite of all that, Zundel had won a media victory. Day after day, for 7 weeks, the entire English-speaking Canadian media covered the trial with its spectacular revelations. The public learned that the revisionists had first-class documentation and arguments, while the exterminationists were in desperate straits. Their expert was Raoul Hilberg. Now, the prosecution expert in the first trial, Raoul Hilberg, an American professor of Jewish descent and author of the standard reference work, The Destruction of the European Jews, put out in 1961, which Paul Rassiner discussed in Le Drame des Juifs Europeans, The Drama of the European Jews. Hilberg began his testimony by explaining, without interruption, his theory, and again, theory about the extermination of the Jews. Remember that word, folks, theory. He was then cross-examined by Zundel's lawyer, Douglas Christie, who was assisted by Kelty Zubko and myself, whoever's writing this article. I don't know who that is. Right from the start, it was clear that Hilberg, who was the world's leading authority on the Holocaust, had never examined a single concentration camp, not even Auschwitz. He had still not examined any camp in 1985 when he announced the imminent appearance of a new edition of his main work in three volumes, revised, corrected, and augmented. Although he did visit Auschwitz in 1979 for a single day as part of a ceremonial appearance, he did not bother to examine either the buildings or the archives. In his entire life, he has never seen a gas chamber, either in its original condition or in ruins. For a historian, even ruins can tell tales. On the stand, he was forced to admit that there had never been a plan, a central organization, a budget or supervision for what he called the policy of the extermination of the Jews. He also had to admit that since 1945, the Allies have never carried out an expert study of the weapon of the crime. That is to say, of a homicidal gas chamber. No autopsy report has established that even one inmate was ever killed by poison gas. Now, Hilberg said that Hitler gave orders for the extermination of the Jews and that Himmler gave an order to halt the extermination on November 25, 1944. Wow, such detail, huh? But Hilberg could not produce these orders. The defense asked him if he still maintained the existence of the Hitler orders in the new edition of his book. He dared to answer yes. He thereby lied and even committed perjury. And in the new edition of his work, with a preface dated September 1984, Hilberg systematically deleted any mention of an order by Hitler. And in this regard, seeing the review by Christopher Browning, the revised Hilberg, Simon Wiesenthal Center Annual, 1986, page 294, when he was asked by the defense to explain how the Germans had been able to carry out an undertaking as enormous as the extermination of millions of Jews without any kind of plan, without any central agency, without any blueprint or budget, Hilberg replied that in the various Nazi agencies there had been, quote, an incredible meeting of the minds, a consensus mind reading by a far-flung bureaucracy, unquote. The next witness that came was Arnold Friedman. The prosecution counted on the testimony of survivors, and these survivors were chosen with care. They were supposed to testify that they had seen with their own eyes preparations for and the carrying out of homicidal gassings. And since the war, in a series of trials like those at Nuremberg, Jerusalem, or Frankfurt, such witnesses have never been lacking. Although, as often noted, no lawyer for the defense has ever had the courage or the competence necessary to cross-examine these witnesses on the gassings themselves. And for the first time in Toronto in 1985, one lawyer, Douglas Christie, dared to ask for explanations. He did it with the help of topographical maps and building plans, as well as scholarly documentation on both the properties of the gases supposedly used and also on the capacities for cremation, whether carried out in crematory ovens or in pyres. Not one of these witnesses stood the test, and especially not Arnold Friedman. Despairing of his case, Friedman ended by confessing that he had indeed been at Auschwitz-Birkenau, where he never had to work except once unloading potatoes. But that, as regards to gassings, he had relied on what others had told him. Witness Rudolf Verba was internationally known. He was a Slavic Jew imprisoned at Auschwitz and at Birkenau, and he said that he had escaped from the camp in April of 1944 with Fred Wetzler. After getting back to Slovakia, He dictated a report about Auschwitz and Birkenau and on their crematories and gas chambers. With help from Jewish organizations in Slovakia, Hungary, and Switzerland, his report reached Washington, where I'll stop, go to the break, and continue about where it served as a basis for the government's famous War Refugee Board report. Stick around, more to come. We're talking about Ernst Zundel and the Holocaust. Be right back on the other side, folks.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're back. Michael Herzog with the American Awakening coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun. Now, I just got a message during the break that we've got an update on LaCavera, Tom LaCavera, who was the host that I replaced after Eric Jones. I think it's his girlfriend, Lori, not Lori Anderson. This is Tom LaCavera's girlfriend, Lori, that will be up here in just a minute. And she's going to give us a quick update on what's going on with the LaCavera situation. So when I get a message from my board op that we've got her up online, then we'll go to her. But in the meantime, let's get back to this. The recent report reached Washington, where it served as a basis for the U.S. government's famous War Refugee Board report, and that was published in November 1944. Now, since then, every Allied organization charged with the prosecution of war crimes and every Allied prisoner in a trial of war criminals has had available this official version of history of those camps. Now, Verba later became a British citizen and published his autobiography under the title of I Cannot Forgive. This book was published in 1964 and was actually written by Alan Bestek, who... Oh, okay, I'm going to cut off and I'm going to go to Lori. Lori, welcome to the American Awakening with Michael Herzog. How are you, dear? Lori, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how are you?
Good.
Okay, I understand that you have an update on Tom's situation.
I was going to update you on the Bundys, too. There's not really much on Thomas. Thomas is still the same.
Okay, well, I just actually had Ammon Bundy on the show here for 15 minutes from his cell updating me, so I really don't need that.
Yeah, you do. That's not the latest.
I listened
to the show.
Yeah, oh, did you? Oh, okay. Okay, well, no, I'll give it to you then. Go ahead.
Yeah. Are we on air right now?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah, with Ammon, they're going down to the prison. They call themselves the P3, the Patriots. They're going down to Nevada, and they're going to go camp out right outside the prison. The thing is, the prison has now said that they're not going to allow any visitors for any of the prisoners for the weekend while they're there. As long as they're there, they're probably not going to allow anybody in or out. What this is going to do is psychological warfare for the prisoners. They really depend on their phone calls, and they really depend on seeing their kids and their wives. So they're going to probably try to make these prisoners turn against the Bundys and everybody that's in there on the Bundy issues. So that's what we're looking at right now. I want everybody to realize this is a psyops on these people. It's a psyops on me. It's a psyops on Tom. It's a psyops on all of us. And I don't play their game. So they really don't mess with Tom as much because I just won't play it. But every time they do something to Ammon or Ryan or one of the guys, they have the same reaction. Instead of going and learning the laws, they go and camp out and protest and do the same thing. So the government's really playing with them bad on both sides.
Let me ask you a question, Lori. Is Tom out of solitary confinement right now?
He is out of solitary. He's been
okay.
out for...
I got that from Eric Jones, so I just want to make sure that we're still consistent with that. But also on the topic of, you're talking about, you know, the Patriots that are coming and camping out, are you saying that maybe it is better if they don't, so it will relieve the Bundys and allow them to see their kids and their wives?
No. What I'm saying is it might be best if they also go and learn the legislation behind what's going on, and they all get on the same page of knowing what's going on behind the scenes.
Okay, let me stop you there. We got to go to the top of the hour break. I'll keep you over. All right, we'll be back in about 2 minutes. Michael Herzog, The American Awakening, with my guest, Lori, Tom LaCavera's, I guess it's girlfriend or wife, one or the other. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.